Rick Mansfield from Sydney, Australia, to deliver the fourth class in his series, The Judgment Seat of Christ, entitled, Who Shall Be There?
Thank you, Brother Chairman. My dear brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Apostle Paul, in the 17th chapter of Acts, as he spoke to the brethren, the people in Athens, as he had made his way southwards, spoke these words in the 17th chapter of Acts and verse 31. He says that God hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. We have emphasized that the first work of the Lord Jesus Christ on his return is the resurrection of the dead, and the gathering of both dead and living, who are responsible to judgment for the purpose of judgment. Let me say this, it does not require the nations to assume any particular role in the world. That God is at this present time guiding the destiny of nations and bringing about the affairs of the nations to the position that he would have them in at the time of the end. That God has a set time in which the Lord Jesus Christ is to return. That nothing we do will hinder or aid that time. We pray for that time. Our earnest desire is that it might be soon, and God is well pleased with that attitude of mind. But God nevertheless has appointed a day, a set time, in which he is going to judge the world. You notice the words also that he says. The Apostle Paul, he makes this comment in verse 29, for as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone graven by art and man's device. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. There is a time of ignorance that has changed, that the gospel has gone forth unto the nations. And God commands all men everywhere to repent because he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness. Consider also the words of the 75th Psalm and verse 2. Again on the matter of judgment. And the statement given in Psalm 75 and verse 2 is, when I shall receive the congregation, I will judge uprightly. When I shall receive the congregation, I shall judge uprightly. And if you notice the marginal rendering, it is given as, when I shall take a set time. When I shall take a set time, I will judge with I will judge uprightly. Or the Revised Standard Version renders it in this fashion, at the set time which I appoint, I will judge with equity. At the set time which I appoint, I will judge with equity. So let us understand this, that God has a set time in which his judgments are going to be manifest. That there is a set day or a set period of time in which the Lord Jesus Christ is going to judge. And the judgment is not something which has been left to chance. The plan and purpose of Almighty God is not left to chance. But at the set time and in the manner that he has determined, the Lord Jesus Christ will return at the appointed time, and judgment will take place. And we need to fix our mind upon that and consider this judgment seat. As we have said, there will be the resurrection of the dead. And the resurrection will consist of both those who are just and unjust. Turn with me to the words of the Apostle Paul in the 24th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. Acts 24, and we'll take it from verse 14. Acts 24 and verse 14. Paul says, "This I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets, and have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust." There will be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. So when we consider the resurrection, it speaks of these two classes of people being raised. Two categories, both just and unjust, for the resurrection of the dead. And Daniel adds to that in his words in the 12th chapter of Daniel, and I'd suggest that we might turn them up, even if we are aware of these passages of Scripture. And let us look at that 12th chapter of Daniel. Daniel chapter 12, we are dealing with the time of the end. We are dealing with the time in verse 1 that Michael shall stand up. Chapter 12 and verse 1. At that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation. Even to that same time, and at that time thy people shall be delivered, everyone that is found written in the book. There is going to be a time of trouble which is going to come upon the nations of the world. That time of trouble will come after the saints have been removed. Let us understand that. The time that is spoken of there, that time of trouble such as never was, will occur after the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. It will occur after the saints have been removed to Sinai for the purpose of judgment. And the reason we say that is because the Lord Jesus Christ tells us that his coming, the days will be as it was in the days of Noah, and they were removed before the flood occurred, or in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah when Lot and his two daughters were removed from the city before the destruction came about. And this destruction that is spoken of is greater than anything that has been before, with the exception of the time of the flood, when only 8 souls were saved. But this destruction will be go back and be equal to anything up to that time, because nations were formed after the flood, since there was a nation. And it speaks of thy people, at that time thy people shall be delivered. And verse 2, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, and some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. So that here again, Daniel, like the Apostle Paul, speaks of the resurrection of the dead. Many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth. Some will rise. Some will rise to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Now let us consider also that the vast majority of mankind, down through the ages, have never heard the word of God. They are in complete darkness. What will happen to them? Are they raised from the dead and a part of the just or the unjust? Are they raised from the dead and are part of that verse 2, that many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth? Let us understand the words of Daniel, though. He says, many of them. Many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth. Not all of them, but many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth. But now what will happen to that vast majority of mankind who have never heard the word of God? Are they exempted from responsibility to the judgment seat? Well, the scriptures of truth very clearly and emphatically state that they die and they will be as though they never existed. that they will not come out of their graves, and they are described as perishing. We might turn, first of all, by way of proof, to the words of the 26th chapter of Isaiah. Let me say this, that I can only give a certain number of passages of Scripture to prove this particular point, but the Scriptures are full of proof of this very matter. Isaiah 26, and verse 13. Isaiah 26 and verse 13. O Yahweh, our God, other lords besides thee have had dominion over us. People have had dominion over us. But by thee only will we make mention of thy name. Other lords have had dominion over us. Verse 14. They are dead. They shall not live. They are deceased. They shall not rise. Therefore hast thou visited and destroyed them, and made all their memory to perish. Made all their memory to perish. You consider what is being stated. Here is a group of people who will not live. They will not rise. They are spoken of being destroyed, and their memory to perish. And that is the vast majority of mankind who will not rise from the dead. By way of contrast, in the same chapter, turn to verse 19. You've got in verse 14, they are dead, they shall not live. But verse 19 says, thy dead men shall live. Together with my dead body shall they arise. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in dust, for thy dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out her dead. The earth shall cast out her dead. So that in the same chapter, we have one group of mankind, one category of mankind, who will remain in the grave, who are described as that they will not live, that they will not rise, that they are destroyed, and their memory is totally to perish. Whereas on the other hand, you've got thy dead men shall live, together with my dead body shall they arise. And here is those who are responsible to judgment. We might, while we're on that subject, consider likewise the context of what is stated. Notice verse 20. Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment until the indignation be overpast. So that the saints are gathered out of the indignation that is going to be manifest upon the nation that Daniel talks about in the 12th chapter of Daniel and verse 1, that time of trouble such as never was, that time of tribulation that will be upon the face of the earth. And the saints are said to come away from that until the indignation be overpassed. Verse 21, for behold, Yahweh cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall discover her blood and shall no more cover her slain. The time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation. The saints will be removed before that happens. Brethren and sisters, make no mistake about that. If we're looking for a time of trouble, we'll find Christ will come, and we will not be prepared for him. Again, in the 51st chapter of Jeremiah, the same thought is presented to us. Jeremiah 51 and verse 39. And of the Babylonians, it says, in their heat, I will make their feasts, and I will make them drunken so that they may rejoice, and sleep a perpetual sleep and not wake, saith Yahweh. In their heat, I will make their feasts, make them drunken. The Babylonians, who are said to sleep a perpetual sleep and not wake. So there is a group of mankind who will not rise from the dead. Again, the Edomites in the prophecy of Obadiah, the 16th verse, Obadiah 16. It says of thee, as ye have drunk upon my holy mountain, the Edomites, so shall all the heathen, all the nations, drink continually. Yea, they shall drink, and they shall swallow down. And they shall be as though they had not been. They shall be as though they had not been. They will not rise, their memory will be cut off, and they will be as though they had not been. Now, in the 49th Psalm, and that'll be easier to find than Obadiah, the 49th Psalm, we have a treatise, I believe, on this particular matter. And it's very important for us, I believe, to examine the words of the psalmist here in this 49th Psalm. Because it gives us a clue, not only to the two categories, those who will rise and those who will not rise, but it also gives to us the basis of why certain will rise from the dead for the purpose of judgment. Psalm 49, and let us take, first of all, verse 6. Psalm 49, verse 6, they that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. Verse 9, that he should still live forever and not see corruption. Just eliminating the verses in parenthesis for a moment, none of them can by the means of their wealth redeem their brother, nor give to God a ransom for him that he should live forever and not see corruption. By this means one cannot buy salvation. And verse 10, for he seeth that the wise men die, likewise the fool and the brutish person perish and leave their wealth to others. Their inward thought is that their houses shall continue forever, and their dwelling places to all generation. They call their lands after their own names. And then he makes this comment in verse 12. Nevertheless, man being in honour abideth not. He is like the beasts that perish. So that having developed this, of those who are wealthy, those who boast themselves in the multitude of riches, they cannot redeem by their wealth their brother. They can't redeem this. They can't do this. So that here is a man that is an honour. Those who have this wealth is like the beast that perish. He's like the beast that perish. In other words, he will remain in the grave. Now, what is the basis of him staying in the grave? Let us go on. Notice verse 15. You've got this contrast that is given to us, that God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave. Why? There is a difference between this, the psalmist, where he says, God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, he shall receive me. And then he gives that word, Selah, a word which means to pause and consider that which has gone before in relationship with that which is to come. In this particular psalm. And that is what is said here. God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, for he will receive me. Pause and consider what I say in relation to what I am going to say. Be not afraid, he says, verse 16, when one is made rich, when the glory of his house increaseth. Don't consider that. And unfortunately, a term that we often hear is about keeping up with the Joneses. And we concern, we see somebody is rich and we think, well, perhaps we should be like him. When they see the glory of his house being increased, the people in the world about us, we like to copy what they're doing. But verse 17, consider, when he dieth, he shall carry nothing away. His glory shall not descend after him. You know, it's that descend after him when he goes to the grave. Though while he lived, he blessed his soul, and men will praise thee when thou doest well to thyself. He shall go to the generation of his fathers, they shall never see light. So you've got in one instance that God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, for he shall receive me, whereas by way of contrast, these will go to the generation of fathers, his fathers. They shall never see light. They shall never rise again from the dead. Why? On what basis? What is the basis? Verse 20. Man that is in honor and understandeth not is like the beast that perish. Man that is in honor and understandeth not is like the beast that perish. So that what is the basis that will keep a person in the grave, or what is the basis that will bring a person out from the grave? The thing that will keep him in the grave is the fact that he does not understand, and so he will remain in the grave. And that is speaking of this matter from a negative standpoint. In a positive standpoint, what is the thing that will bring someone forth from the grave? What will bring him forth from the grave? An understanding. An understanding of the Word of God. Man that is in honor and understandeth not is like the beast that perish. He will remain in the grave. But anyone who understands will be brought forth from the grave. And that is what the psalmist is saying. Again, we have the statement given to us in Psalm 88 and verse 5. Psalm 88 and verse 5, and the psalmist says there, that free among the dead, like the slain that lie in the grave, whom thou rememberest no more, and they are cut off from thine hand. So that here is a group of mankind whom God remembers no more. And that, as we said, is the vast majority of mankind who have not come to an understanding of the things of God. Who have not come to an understanding of the things of God, and they will remain in the grave. And the vast majority of mankind is in this position. So there will be a resurrection of the just and of the unjust. And that must of necessity be those who know the truth. So that the Lord Jesus Christ returns, there is a resurrection of the dead, of the just and of the unjust. As the Apostle Paul points out, of the vast majority of mankind who have not come to an understanding of the things of God, they will remain in the grave. There will be a judgment of the living also. And the judgment of the living will be on the same basis. The just and the unjust, and also those who do not understand will not be responsible to that judgment. You turn with me to the words of 2 Timothy 4, verse 1, which we have quoted previously, but just look at it this, from this point of view, just adding to what we have stated, where Paul says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. So that the Apostle Paul is dealing with judging the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. So that you've got the living and the dead who are responsible to judgment, be they just or unjust, will be gathered for the purpose of judgment. You know, the Apostle Paul here, we might just pause for a moment to look at this verse again. He gives a solemn charge to Timothy, a solemn charge to us, brethren and sisters, when he tells us of the Lord Jesus Christ who is going to judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. The Apostle Paul looked upon this as a vital subject that people needed to understand. It is a subject that needs to be ventilated and thought about and considered. We need to consider who will be at the judgment seat, because it vitally concerns each and every one of us, whether we will be at the judgment seat or not. If there is a possibility of us being at the judgment seat, we need to understand it. We need to understand the subject of the judgment seat. And the Apostle Paul says to us, because Christ is coming, Because there's going to be a judgment of the quick and the dead, we need to preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. You know, people find it difficult to consider that the ecclesia is being talked about. We'd like to put it from us and say it's got nothing to do with us, it's the world about us. The Apostle Paul is talking about the ecclesia. And he is telling us that there is a time when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap unto themselves teachers, because they want their ears to be tickled with the things they want to hear, not things which are going to tell them that they need to change their way of life and their attitude towards the things of the truth. In verse 4, they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Because we're going to stay before the judgment seat of Christ, and it's vital for us to understand that, brethren and sisters, that we will be there. It will be a solemn occasion for us. It will probably be a dreadful occasion for us. We need to be prepared for that time. We need to give ourselves to this particular subject, that it might become part of our mental processes, that it might be something which will strengthen us towards the kingdom of God. Now turn with me to the words of the 5th chapter of John. John chapter 5. And we have these words in verse 25. John 5 and verse 25. Let's consider the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Now, let's add some words. And let me just read it again. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. So you've got the situation first spiritually and then eternally. Consider the Lord Jesus Christ. He's dealing with those, firstly, who are dead in trespasses and sins. All right? Verily I say unto you, the hour is when the dead in trespasses and sins shall hear the voice of the Son of God. They'll hear that. And those who hear or hearken unto that will live. But the hour is coming when the dead in their graves will hear the voice of the Son of God, and they shall live. And so he's speaking about resurrection. Verse 26, for as the Father hath life in himself, so he hath given the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment. He's given him authority to execute judgment because he is the Son of Man. He's the Son of Man. He's one who's been able to be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, who's been tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. He hath given him authority to execute judgment because he is the Son of Man. And he says, marvel not at this, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good, unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil, unto the resurrection of condemnation. So that he speaks of the resurrection unto life, and a resurrection unto condemnation. And on what basis is that resurrection? The hour is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God. They shall hear the voice of the Son of God. Now the Lord Jesus Christ is saying to us, you had the opportunity of hearing. You had the opportunity of hearing and either accepting what you heard or rejecting what you heard. But you may reject it, you might have had the opportunity, and you might have rejected it, but there is a day coming when there is no alternative. You will hear the voice. Notice verse 28, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice. We have the opportunity of hearing and hearkening today. And those who come to a knowledge of the things of Christ have the opportunity today of either accepting and or rejecting. But the day will come when there is no alternative. All that are in the graves will hear his voice. And they will be brought forth from their graves. They shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of condemnation. There's two classes that are spoken of there. Now let's consider these words again. Verse 28. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the graves. Now obviously it doesn't mean all in the absolute sense. It means all in a relative sense. Because we've just considered from various passages of Scripture that the vast majority of mankind who have not known the truth, man that is not in honour and understandeth not, will not rise from the grave. And that is the basis why some are left in the grave and some are raised. So what is the Apostle John speaking of here when he says that all that are in the graves, and the word graves then in the Greek is a word which primarily denotes a memorial. It comes from a word, and it's akin to a word which means to remember. And something by which they are held in remembrance, it's speaking of. A memorial, or something by which they are held in remembrance. So there's certain memorial graves. There's a memorial there. God remembers a person who has come to know him. And they will rise from the dead, in which all in these memorial graves shall rise from the dead. Because the most of mankind has been forgotten. God remembers them no more. But there are some whom he remembers in those memorial graves who will rise again. So all, in that relative sense of those who are remembered, will rise again from the dead. Now let us go back and let us summarize again. First of all, there will be a resurrection of the just and the unjust. That the vast majority of mankind will not be raised from the dead. The basis of that judgment is their knowledge or otherwise of the things which they have been given or taught. And Daniel, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Apostle Paul agree on the resurrection and judgment of commendation and condemnation. Now, what is the basis of some being remembered and others being forgotten? What is the basis of this? Let us turn firstly to the words of the 12th chapter of John. John chapter 12. And verse 42. Now let's consider the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. We might just, perhaps before we go to verse 42, consider the context of what is happening. It's the Lord Jesus Christ immediately after he had left the temple for the last time. It was immediately after this, likewise, that he gave the words of the Olivet prophecy. But he moved from the temple, he went through the courts of the women, He saw the widow casting in two mites. He then moved through the courts of the Gentiles and then out of the temple. You notice in verse 20 of the 12th chapter of John 12 and verse 20, that there are certain Greeks among them which came up to worship at the feast, so that he was now moving through the courts of the Gentiles. And the same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. By way of contrast, those Greeks were interested in hearing the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And verse 22, nevertheless, says John, nevertheless, among the chief rulers also, many believed on him. Many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For verse 43 says, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. They had set before them the things of the Lord Jesus Christ. They had come to a knowledge of him. They believed on him. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. They loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. And verse 44, Jesus cried and said, he that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. So that though they might be believing on Christ, they are believing on God, him that sent me. And the Lord says, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if anyone hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. So that the Lord Jesus Christ says, he that believeth on me believeth on God. And therefore he that rejecteth me, he says in verse 48, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words, hath one that judgeth him, the word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last days. Let's consider this. The Lord Jesus Christ says, when will he be judged? In the last days. Some might suggest that one is being judged at this present time. When will he be judged, says the Lord Jesus Christ? In the last days. What will be the basis of him being judged, says the Lord Jesus Christ? He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last days. And there were the Pharisees who they believed, says John, they believed on him, but they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God, and they were turning their back upon the things of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were rejecting his message, the words that he spoke unto him. They were convinced of the Lord Jesus Christ. They believed on him. And so they were rejecting not the Lord Jesus Christ, but rather they were rejecting the words of God. And we have that statement, as the Lord says, I don't judge him, but he will be judged in the last day. And the basis of these words, the basis of that judgment, is the words that he hath spoken. Now let us consider one other point, and that is the subject of the judgment seat is a first principle of Scripture. You turn with me to the words of the 10th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. It's dealing with the conversion of Cornelius, the first Gentile, convert, or rather the first European convert, who came to the things of God. In the earlier chapters, the Samaritans heard the truth, the Ethiopian eunuch heard the truth, but here it speaks of Cornelius, this first European convert who came into the knowledge of the truth. Now Peter was concerned about this matter, and he takes with him six brethren as witnesses to what was going to happen. And Peter came unto him, and he preached to him the things of the truth. And verse 41, Acts 10 and verse 41, let's take verse 40. Him, of the Lord Jesus Christ, God raised up the third day and showed him openly. Not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. Christ rose from the dead. And verse 42, Christ commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. Notice this. Christ rose from the dead. He showed himself openly to a group of witnesses. Not to all the people, and he commanded. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. So his understanding was that Christ was telling them that this was a basic gospel message that needed to be taught to people, that they might understand in its fullness the subject of the judgment seat of Christ, that Christ is ordained to be the judge of quick and dead. And brothers and sisters, here is a subject, I believe, that is very vital to each and every one of us. It's a subject that needs to be expounded, it needs to be understood, it needs to be thought upon. We need to meditate upon this subject. The Apostle Paul says in the 2nd of Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 11, that knowing therefore the terror of God, we persuade men. We need to consider the words which are stated on this particular subject and make it part of our gospel message. Make it part of the thing which is taught unto those who come to a knowledge of the truth, that they might understand this. And brethren and sisters, if we are going to give the whole counsel of God, we need to take this subject and understand its meaning and proclaim it unto others. The design of this particularly is that mankind might see this way of salvation that is offered unto us by the things of the truth which God has given through the Lord Jesus Christ. May each and every one of us participate in that day when the Lord Jesus Christ returns to judge the quick and the dead.